Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 52 in the series entitled Jewish Martyrdom, recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 10th of Kislev, 5759.
Morning. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Ches, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Last week's class, we came to realize and learn that there are three, generally speaking, there are three methods through which one can experience a relationship with something outside of him or her. Three methods of awareness concerning a certain truth. The first one is a common one and an obvious one, the relationship that is created through the mind, through seichel, where a person uses his intellectual cognitive faculties to question, to discriminate, to analyze, to crystallize, to define, to accept or not to accept, to embrace or reject, to agree or to disagree. That is a very powerful tool through which one can determine truth and distinguish falsehood from truth. That's one level of relationship. Another method of relationship is what's known as faith. Or to put it more accurately, as blind faith. A person believes, for whatever reason, either he was trained that way since he was a little child, or as an adult, certain external powers and influences have imposed themselves upon him or her. Whatever the case is, this person believes. It's not a truth which he can prove or disprove through his intellect. He believes, he relies on the fact that someone else says that I know it's true. This is a faith which is below the intellect. It's called emuna. The term emuna is usually employed for it. Emuna means faith, inferior to intellect. And then there is a third level of faith, a third level of relationship, which is also faith, but it's beyond the intellect. It's also not accessed or experienced or integrated or embraced via the tools of the mind. We call it amuna, but this we say is amuna that transcends the intellect. And this is the amuna that Alter Rebbe is addressing in Perek Yud Ches and claiming that it is the lot of every single Jew concerning Hashem. What is the difference between, is there a recognizable difference between the former emuna, which is beneath the intellect, and the latter emuna, which transcends the intellect? Or do we have to rely on blind faith to believe that there is a difference between them? Do we have to rely on blind emuna to believe the Alter Rebbe that the emuna of the Jew transcends intellect? The most conspicuous difference, I think, between the two is blind faith that is inferior to intellect is threatened by the intellect. It's extremely frightened from it. It's threatened by it and constantly avoids it. Because it is very well aware that if the intellect plays a role, it will be defeated. So when you have various people or tribes or cultures who can blow up buses with women and children inside based on faith that when they enter the portals of paradise, extraordinary physical gratification will be awaiting them. This person, if you invite him into your living room and you say, let's discuss this rationally and intellectually, that's a no-no, that's a crime. Because the person knows immediately when the intellect is brought into the picture, this threatens him in a very powerful way. The less intellect, the more emunah there will be. Whenever there's blind faith, the less the capacity for seichel, the better it is for the emunah. The more the person is seichelding, the more you have to stay away from him because he will defeat you, he will destroy you. And therefore, whenever a person attempts to instill, to ingrain in someone else blind faith, he will make sure to keep this person away from an intellectual framework and experience. And usually, the methods that will be employed to ingrain it will be methods that suppress, that eradicate, that do not welcome questions, that do not welcome the rationale, because the rationale is dangerous. Blind faith cannot flourish in an atmosphere of seichel. It's often seen in cults. It's not just a certain belief. Their minds are generally shut off. Because in order for them to embrace that cult with fervor and zealousness and passion, there was no choice but to demoralize their minds, to crush their cognitive process, to eradicate their intellectual identity. Once that occurs, they can embrace the cult because they then don't have that power to discriminate, to judge, so they embrace what you communicate with them. The emunah that is beyond seichel, its most conspicuous feature is that it's not threatened by seichel. It doesn't need seichel, but it's never threatened by it. It does not need the tool of the mind, but it's never scared of it. It never has to shun away from it. It never has to eradicate it or destroy it. Since it's beyond seichel, seichel is not in the realm to disprove it or to prove it. Now, in many other in all areas of life, there is usually no problem with employing the method of seichel. Because if it's something that lends itself to the realm of the intellect, embrace it via your mind, or reject it via your mind. One of the two. If not, it's either the person is intellectually lazy, and being intellectually lazy is never a blessing, because laziness is not a blessing. Or the person is foolish and doesn't have the capability. Pesiyam l'chol davar. If you come into this room and you say it's presently snowing outside, and someone believes you, that's not a foolish emunah, that's not blind faith. I know who the person is. I make a cognitive conclusion that it's senseless that this person should come in when everyone could look out of the window and make up a lie that it's snowing, an adult and so forth. So that's not called real emunah. But normally, a person should embrace his seichel to embrace or to not, or to reject. Says the Alter Rebbe, "Avolagabe Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hakol Kipitayim Etzli Yisbarach." You're dealing with absolute reality, which lays machshava tfisa beklal. So the realms of the intellect is not an appropriate vessel to access that information, so to speak, because it's not information. It's the only reality existing which cannot be defined as information. Unknowable, so the knowledge cannot grasp it. So the only method through which it can be grasped is through suspension of self. Through suspension of the ego. Through creating a vacuum, through creating a space. That is the only method which can grasp this. Because assertion of identity, the most sublime and aloof identity, cannot serve as an appropriate container for divine energy, which is transcendental energy. So assertion is a contradiction to being a receptacle to this energy. What must take place as a prerequisite is suspension of the ego, creating a vacuum which then welcomes and serves as an abode for elokus, for godliness, which leis machshavah tfisa biklal. This, says the Alter Rebbe, exists in the Jew as a result of chachmah shebenefesh. Chachmah shebenefesh is the space in the soul, the self-nullification characteristic of the soul. That part of the self which is selfless, that part of identity which lacks identity, where Hashem dwells and reveals Himself, and as a result of that is the Amunah which is beyond Seichel. It's not a Seichel that can process, it's an Amunah which is beyond Seichel, not below Seichel, but beyond it. It's not threatened by Seichel, but Seichel does not contribute it, does not enhance it, does not weaken it. And this is a level of relationship, as mentioned, it's like seeing something deeper than the mind. It has a certainty which is beyond the certainty of the mind, because the certainty of the mind is a powerful certainty. But nevertheless, it lends itself to questions. And therefore, even if you have an answer to the question, that certainty is limited. It's limited in the realm of intellect. The certainty that you exist has an infinite quality to it. And the reason for that distinction between the certainty of the mind and the certainty of Amunah that transcends the mind is, as discussed last week in detail, we won't get into it again, that ultimately the proof that something exists via the mind essentially means that that thing is not projected, it's not revealed. What is revealed is your mind, and your mind deduces through various data that it exists. Seeing something is about a relationship where that thing is actually revealed in your life. And we know that as long as I am functioning, my mind is functioning, that does not give room for some another reality to be revealed. As the difference between Chachma and Bina. Chachma, your mind is asserted, so the concept is not there anymore. The experience is not there. Chachma, your mind is not there, so the concept is there. So in Seichel, I am there, so whatever the truth is, that truth is not there. I know the truth, I understand the truth, I can determine the truth, I can prove the truth, but that truth is not there. Emunah, the experience beyond Seichel, the truth is there, and therefore I am not there, and then I have it. That's the power, and concerning everything else, perhaps there can be an Emunah, we won't get into it, beyond Seichel, with the assertion of identity. Concerning Hashem, His projection and His revelation can only come through the vacuum, that is Chachmas HaBenefesh, and that is the source of the Jewish Emunah. Now we'll continue. No. Mala ha'aretz deyas Hashem.
Yes.
In Yeshaya, the prophet says, when describing the Messianic, Ari Yeshaya Perek Yud Aleph, I believe. Mala ha'aretz deyas Hashem kamayim layam mechasim.
And it seems right now, what you're saying, it seems like the Emunah has a higher level than Das.
Emunah is a higher level than Das, yes. And as one, but that as one's Das grows, the Emunah also grows, because Hashem is infinite, so the Das can never comprehend Him in His totality. So when one matures and learns more, the Emunah tool, so to speak, is utilized for a higher level. So the Alter Rebbe asks in Lekut HaTorah, when Mashiach comes, there won't be Emunah. Well, you believe. You don't have to believe in Hashem. Today, it's an issue. Does God exist? Does he not exist? If he does exist, why does he exist? How does he exist? Should an intellectual adult as myself embrace him and acknowledge his reality or not? All these questions are part of what defined humanity in the past 5,000 years. So Alter Rebbe says, when Mashiach comes, don't be a moon anymore. We'll be das. It's interesting. An interesting insight. I heard that a Talmud, a student, once asked the Brisker Rav, Reb Velvula Brisker, who was, of course, an embodiment of the Lithuanian school of thought, one of the greatest brilliant Torah scholars of last generation. He passed away in 1960, Tavshin Chav. He replaced his father, Reb Chaim, as the Abbez Din of Brisk, and then later moved to Yerushalayim, and there he passed away. So a Talmud once brought a question to him that, isn't it true that when Mashiach comes, there will not be any more the concept of Emunah? So he said, nein. Emunah is a mitzvah, and a mitzvah is nitzchis. Emunah is a mitzvah, and a mitzvah is eternal. Halacha dictates that all of the mitzvahs of the Torah are eternal. The Rambam elaborates upon this in the Hilchos Sedei HaTorah. Emunah is a mitzvah. So you're telling me about Emunah being a fact, you know? You believe in Hashem, God, Hashem will be revealed. Emunah is a mitzvah. But what's pshat? It's a very, very revealing tale. Dr. Rebbe explains the look of the Torah. If Hashem would be finite in any form or fashion, so then you say, listen, what a 5-year-old has to believe, a 20-year-old can't understand. What a 20-year-old has to believe, perhaps a 40-year-old can't understand. But since you're dealing with Ein Sof, which less machshava tfisa beklal, so therefore the das can exist and exist and flourish, and there'll always be place for chachmash of a nefesh to exist and be very crucial. And perhaps the most crucial thing in the life of the Jew. Because it's Ein Sof. So even everything that we understand, and as much as we grow, there's always more and more. And as one's das grows, one's emunah grows, and is applicable to higher realms, and so forth. It's possible, by the way, also in light of what it says in Tanya, to say that emunah by the Jew is like a sixth sense. A person has the vision, that we have the five senses, right? Sight, hearing, smelling, touching, and tasting. Each one of these senses allows us to experience a certain element of our reality. What the eyes can experience, the ears cannot experience, as we discussed last week. And then there is a sixth tool which allows us to experience absolute reality, undefined reality, transcendental energy. The eyes cannot experience it, the mind cannot experience it, the mouth, the hands, and so forth. There's a sixth sense, so to speak. That's the chiddush of Perikitcha, one of the contributions of Alter Rebbe Perikitcha concerning Emunah. It's a faculty existing in the human being which does not have to be created, it exists. You just have to be aware of that faculty, open yourself up to its impact. Begin appreciating it. But there is a faculty that perceives absolute reality, that is Chachmah Shebe Nefesh. It's a tool, it's an instrument. If it's a tool that exists, it's a sense, so to speak. Now let's continue inside. After the shiur last week, many of you presented many questions on the issues discussed here, so I wanted to clarify some of the points. V'lachein, where are we? Daf Chav Dalet Amid Aleph, the line beginning with the words Tamid Imach, Ani Tamid Imach. V'lachein, for this reason, as a consequence of what has been said above, is a filu kal shebekalam apesh Yisrael. Even Kal Shebekalam and Peshi Yisrael, a Kal is a light-headed person. A person who's indifferent. Who's careless. A Kal Shebekalam is among light-headed people. He is the most light-headed among the light-headed themselves. So you can imagine the nature of this type of Jew. This is called a kal shebekalim. Total apathy and indifference to the whole Jewish condition and experience. So even kal shebekalim and poish Yisrael, the sinners among Israel, Moisrim nafsham al gdushas Hashem al harayf. In the majority of cases, they sacrifice their life for the sanctity of Hashem's name. Save leminuyim kashim. They suffer harsh torture, shaloi lichbar ba Hashem echad, just as not to deny Hashem echad, the one God and the unity of Hashem. This is not an experience that is shared by scholars, uniquely by scholars, intellectuals, men with a deep appreciation for Torah, mitzvahs, and for Hashem, even if they are boors, burim, total ignoramuses, and illiterates. They are absolutely ignorant of Hashem's reality, Hashem's greatness and truth. And furthermore, even the little knowledge that they do possess concerning their spiritual heritage and amunah, they do not delve into it at all. So that by no means can we say that their self-sacrifice results from any knowledge or contemplation of Hashem's reality. Because first of all, they know nothing. And even the little that they do know, when the moment of truth comes, they're not in the mode of meditation or contemplation, and they don't think about it. Ela belishum das v'izbeinimus. This act of Mesiras Nefesh, in the majority of cases performed and exercised by Jews, by the entire spectrum of the Jewish nation, from the greatest of the great to the smallest of the small, from the most pious of the pious to the greatest sinners and lightheaded among Israel. This act of Mesiras Nefesh is usually performed b'li shum das v'izbeinus, without any knowledge, meditation, or reflection. Rak ki'ilu. It would seem like, when we observe this, the Alter Rebbe says, it would seem ki ilu hu davar shei efsher klal lichber b'Hashem echad. It's as though it were absolutely impossible for the Jew to renounce the one God. Belishum tam, without any reason, v'taina, or argument, umayna, klal, and any type of answer. It's not the reality which the Jew asks a question, does it make sense, doesn't it make sense? Responds with an answer and brings forth a taina. Belishum tam v'taina umayna klal. This by the Alter Rebbe, this concept, this phenomenon, he sees as one of the most unique, or not one of the most, perhaps the most unique element and dimension which characterizes who and what the Jew is. Historians, scholars, observers of history, till today are astonished by this dynamic. The readiness of the Jewish people throughout all of the generations to go till the very end. For what? For something that many people argue doesn't even exist. All Jews know that they never see it. We never see it. We never really understand it. You cannot compare that reality to physical existence, to empirical evidence that can be at least tested through the laboratory. And for this very celestial, extremely nebulous, extremely questionable reality, they sacrificed everything. And not under easy circumstances, when no major choices had to be made. Decade after decade, century after century, the Jewish people were tormented, were tortured in the most barbaric fashion. Yet, they clung to their Jewishness and their Emunah in Hashem under all costs. They went in fire and in water, giving up every drop of blood for Kiddush Hashem, for the sanctification of Hashem's name. One of the lamentations, the Kinois, that we recite on Tisha B'Av, begins with the words, Hachrishu mimeni v'adabeda v'yavar elayma. Its author is unknown, but it was written by a survivor of an unknown massacred community that was massacred apparently in the Middle Ages. And in this lamentation, the survivor begins by the words, be silent and leave me to be, so that I may speak out my pain. In it, he tells the story of his beloved community that have all perished. But really in it, he tells the story of all of Jewish history, which the Alter Rebbe is describing to us here. Mourn for the flock of scattered sheep. Nisvadu beprishus ubetara lekadesh shem hagadol v'hanoira, who have gathered and assembled themselves in abstinence and purity to sanctify the great and awesome name. V'ishes achiv chisku be'ezra, each man encouraged his brother with strength. Lehidavek be'ira tahira belikraya la'avedezara, enabling him to embrace Hashem with pure awe and not to kneel to strange gods. V'leichasu geveru gvira al banim tzfiras tif'ara, neither a man nor a woman showed weakening pity for their children whose faces were shining with divine splendor. Aval azru gvura yeseira la'aleim reish v'likreit shedra. Instead, they girded themselves with abnormal courage to smash the head and sever the spine. Ve'eleimai dibru ba'amira. Then they addressed their children with these final words. Lo zachinu legadelchem latera, nakrifchem ka'ayla v'haktara, v'niski imachem la'ayra hatzfuna me'en kail v'aluma. We merited not to raise you in the Torah's ways, for we merited not to raise you at all. Let us then bring you nearer to Hashem, like burnt offering and incense, and may we merit sharing with you the light that is concealed and hidden from the eyes of all. Az hiskimu gdeile muktanim lekabel ba'ahava din sheichin ma'aynim. Then young and old agreed to accept lovingly the decision of the one who dwells in the heavens. Uskeinim desheinim varananim heim hayut chila nidainim. The aged who were nevertheless still vigorous and fresh, it was they who were judged the first to be executed. Biyatsu likrasam aze fanim v'nehergu hamaynim hamaynim. The insolent enemy went forth against them and slaughtered multitudes upon multitudes. V'nisarvu p'darim imparshadaynim, until there was a gruesome heap of intermingled fats and intestinal wastes. V'ha'avais asher hayu rachmanim nehefchu la'achzar kaya'enim. Then the fathers, who were once compassionate, turned cruel as ostriches. V'hifisu al'avais va'albanim, and they cast lots over parents and children. Umisha Gaidal Allah Rishinim Hu Nishhat Bachalafis Vesakinim, and whomever the lot came upon first, he was slaughtered with blades and knives. Uvachurim Ale Soila Munim Heim Lachachu Afar Kisaninim. Youths brought up in scarlet clothing now licked the dust like serpents. Bahakalais Lavushais Shanim Ma'ulafais Bizrayas Hasanim minutachais becheda vechidainim, and brides dressed in scarlet swooned into the arms of their husbands, where they were butchered by sword and spears. What are the final words, the parting words of dying parents to dying children? Ve'eleimai dibru ba'amira, lo'izachinu le'gadelchem la'teira, na'krivchem ka'ela v'hakdara. We merited not to raise you in the Torah's ways. Let us then bring you nearer to Hashem. V'niskei machem la'eira atzfuna me'in kol v'aluma, meriting together with you the concealed light that is hidden from the eyes of all. And as is gimu gdoile muktanim lekabel ba'av adin sheichem ma'ayna. Young and old, everybody agreed to accept lovingly the decision of the one who dwells in the heavens that their life should come to an end. There's a tragic sefer called Shevet Yehuda, in which the author describes many of the decrees and the savage suffering and torture the Jewish people experienced throughout the ages. And in it he tells a story. He says, Shamaiti mipiskeinim yoytzei svart. I heard the story directly from elderly Jews who were among those who left Spain on that fateful, tragic day of Tisha B'Av 1492, when hundreds of thousands of Spanish Jewry were expelled from Spain. So he says, I heard from elders who left the country that there was one ship that sailed off the shores of Spain, and an epidemic broke out among the Jews who were on that ship. So the captain took them and he threw them off on some forest or desert land where there was no population, no human civilization. And most of the Jews died either from the epidemic or from hunger.